welcome to PreachItAudio.com. If you're encouraged and strengthened by this message today, be sure to tell someone who this message may bless about PreachItAudio.com, or simply share this message by copying it to a CD and giving it to them so they can listen to it at their own leisure. It is always our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you. May it be a source of strength and help for the struggle you may be facing today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this one who may be listening to this message. Let your word be a light unto their pathway as they go through their day and the week ahead. Bless them, Father, with all spiritual blessing is my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Now we take you to the service already in progress. God bless you.
The other day, and it was in the latest issue of Charisma. And I'm not trying to be mean or ugly tonight, but in the latest issue of Charisma, the editor of the paper wrote this, and I thought it was noteworthy. I'm going to quote from him. He said, when holiness becomes a lower priority than sex appeal, it's a sure sign that we're running from maturity. He said, the brave Christian leaders I have met in the developing world, those who risk their lives each day to preach the gospel, find it disconcerting that we Americans place so much value on youthfulness and looks. They are looking for some wrinkled, gray-haired mentors who have proven character. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. This is what he said. Meanwhile, we're worrying more about what's on the outside. Our faith has become cosmetic. I'm quoting word for word. I'm reading. Our faith has become cosmetic when the world is crying out for answers that offer substance and significance. The American church definitely needs a makeover, but I don't think it's a facelift is what God has in mind. We need something more than superficial surgery. Hallelujah. This man said, my prayer is that he will cut deep to remove the self-worship that is growing like a cancer in our hearts. And I say amen to it. Hallelujah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with this good Jesus name apostolic church. You say my church is dead. Well, bless God, start a prayer meeting and get on fire for God. If your church is dead, why don't you go to that prayer room? You say, I'm just one. Then you're a committee of one. Why don't you go to that prayer room and say, God, we need your power in this church to shake us. Hallelujah. Pentecost is not dry, dead, cold ritualism. It's God's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I got the Holy Ghost, you may be seated. When I got the Holy Ghost 48 years ago, Pentecost was shouting. It was clapping hands. It was dancing in the Spirit. It was speaking in tongues. It was magnifying God. It was praising His name. Nobody seemed ashamed. If a visitor came, you didn't try to hurt them. Neither did you stop your worship. Hallelujah. I don't care who comes to our church. I believe the church ought to still be the church. We're not here to put on an act, our performance, but neither should we stop praising God. It doesn't matter who's in the house. My generation is sick and tired of dry, dead religion, and they're looking for something real. And bless your heart, we've got it. Let's stay in focus. I said we've got the answer. We've got the solution. It's through the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody wrote recently, and I made a note of it. There are seven sins of a dying society. Seven sins. You can parallel that to the church, if you will. Because if it's 130 on the outside, it's going to be pretty warm on the inside. I was preaching a camp meeting in Phoenix a few years ago. Came out of the place, and the superintendent said, it's 114, but it's not hot here. He said, this is the dry heat. I said, yeah, it'll bake you. 114 degrees outside. Don't tell me 114 is not hot. I don't care if you're in Indianapolis or Phoenix. 114 is hot. Dry or wet. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then I was preaching in Alaska a couple of years ago, and my wife and I was up at a conference, and we came out, and it's 20 below zero, and everything was frozen up. He said, "This is one of our better days. This is a nice day here in Fairbanks. Praise God." And I said, "Well, this is one of your nice days. Let me, for God's sake, get out of here before the bad ones come." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm saying this. Whatever is in the world, if we're not careful, we can let it be paralleled in the church. But my contention tonight is that the church ought to stay focused, and we ought to be the church. Let the world be the world. Let the church be the church. And let's go ahead and shout the victory and praise the name of our God. 7 sins of a dying society. Number one, and I want to elaborate for the sake of time, is wealth without work. Wealth without work. Get rich quick philosophy. Schemes, ideas, cheating, whatever. And we're losing our work ethic. But I won't comment on that. That's what this man said, and I'm just quoting from him. It's one of the signs of a dying society is wealth without work. Number two is pleasure without conscience. Hallelujah. God's people need a conscience. And we need a conscience that can be pricked and touched. We need a spirit that's tender before God. Paul said they'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me say to this apostolic church tonight, it's all right to have good, clean fun. And I believe that all of my life. But we don't need to mix with the world and do and act and look and song like the world is. We're God's people. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a bit ashamed of that. I'm just as happy as I can be. Praise God. I said, I'm happy to be Pentecostal. I'm happy to be apostolic. Let's not lose our identity. And we won't if we don't lose our focus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a general spirit in the world out there of compromise and letting down. That spirit should never come in the world. Or in the church, I'm sorry. The spirit of the world should never come in the church. So pleasure without conscience, number two. Number three of the sins of a dying society is knowledge without character. Knowledge without character. We have more education than ever before. Paul said to folks, they were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. We need education. Thank God for it. We need knowledge. But along with our knowledge, we need character. Can somebody say amen? Number four was business without ethics. There's cheating. It's okay to make a profit. It's okay to cheat somebody if you feel the need to. And how much of that have we seen in America in the last few years? In the last few years, we've seen that spirit epitomized here in America. And it's trying to bring down corporate America. Business without ethics. Number five is science without humanity. You know, Paul spoke about science falsely, so-called. Hallelujah. That denies God and the faith in God. Says the Bible's not true. I want to tell you that the Bible is still the Word of God. Hallelujah. I still believe this book. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says or whatever philosopher so-and-so says. The Bible is still God's book. The Bible is still the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. If you'll get planted in your feet right in the Word of God, praise God and stand there and say, I shall not be moved. I'm going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We need saints of God and preachers that'll stand on the Word of God. Don't be affected or influenced by the spirit of our day, but will stand up and proclaim with boldness that God is still God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about 7 sins of a dying society. Number 6 is religion without sacrifice. Religion without sacrifice. If it feels good, do it. You know what I'm talking about? If it feels good, then go ahead and do it. Praise God. There's a lot of people that want religion, but they don't want any sacrifice. They want to say Jesus paid it all. Because they don't want to pay anything. I've even met folks that didn't want to pay their tithes. Now, I'm not going to talk about that on the first night of camp, but I just brought that in. Praise God. I believe if you love God, you're going to pay your tithes. I believe if you love God, you're going to give an offering. I believe if you love God, you're going to stand behind your church. I believe if you love God, you're going to support your church. I believe if you love God, you're going to stand behind your pastor. Can I get an amen somewhere? I said, if you really love God, you're going to stand behind your pastor. You're going to stand behind the church. Even if your church is going through a difficult time, praise God, real saints of God don't jump ship in difficult times. They just say, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm behind you. You can count on me. I'm supporting you. Praise God. I believe in what we're trying to accomplish here. I've seen people that every time the church had a little trouble, they jumped somewhere else. Amen. Stay with your church. Stay in the ship. Glory to God. We don't need religion without sacrifice. No, we don't. We don't need religion without sacrifice. And the seventh thing this man mentioned was politics without principle. Politics without principle. One man said the word poly in Latin means many. And ticks, we know on the farm, was a blood-sucking creature. Praise God. So what is politics? It's many blood-sucking creatures. Praise God. And many people taxing us in ways that we shouldn't be taxed. And I won't talk about that tonight. But I want to tell you, we need some politicians that's got principle. We don't need politicians. We need statesmen. Statesmen are looking to the next generation, and politicians are looking for the next election. Hallelujah. We need some statesmen in Pentecost. We need some men of God that's got character, that's got ethics, that's got principle, that'll stand up, praise God, for what's right. Politics without principle. I was reading an article the other day. It's about 5 years old. Somebody handed it to me. And it said, can you imagine working at the following company that has a little more than 500 employees? Here's a little statistics on these employees. And you decide whether you'd like to go to work there. Out of the little 500 there, 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 of them have bankrupted at least two businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested for drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are current defendants in lawsuits. And in 1998 alone, when this article was written, 84 were stopped for drunk driving out of 500 employees in their company. How would you like to belong to that company? Would you like to go to work there? Can you guess what organization that is? It's the 535 members of the United States Congress. That same group that perpetually cranks out hundreds upon hundreds of new laws designed to put the rest of us out in the shade somewhere. And that's exactly what's happened in Congress. I say on this July the 5th, I still love America. I still love our country. I still stand up, put my hand over my heart when the flag is shown. Praise God. I love this nation, but we need some men that'll do the right thing. We need some politicians that'll forget politics and do the right thing. Hallelujah. 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 We need some men of God in pulpits across Indiana that'll say it doesn't matter what the charismatic church does down the street. We are Jesus' name, United Pentecostal, and that's what we're going to be. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And I know every time you open your mouth, you may get in trouble. I understand that. And you'll never see a fish on a wall mounted with its mouth shut. Amen. If you ever see a fish on a wall mounted, it'll never have its mouth shut. It could open its mouth. Wouldn't be where it is. But I believe we need some preachers that'll open their mouth and say, as for me, this is what I'm going to do. I can't answer for the rest of you. Praise God. But I'm going to stay with this ship. I'm going to stay in this church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Charles Finney said, revival is needed when the following circumstances are true. Number one, notice the parallel here. And this is from Charles Finney, written a long time ago. He said, number one, the church needs revival when there is a lack of brotherly love and confidence among those who profess to be Christians. Hallelujah. The church needs to get rid of its hatred and malice and jealousy and strife and division. God can't bless division. Hallelujah. I said, God can't bless confusion. Number two, he said the church needs revival when there are dissensions, jealousies, and backbiting among the members of the church. Number three, when a worldly spirit's in the church and church members have fallen into gross and scandalous sins. Amen. Another one is a spirit of controversy is in the church or the country. And another thing, the wicked are triumphant over the church and reviling it. And finally, Charles Finney said, when sinners are careless and stupid and sinking into hell unconverted, the church needs a revival. Hallelujah. There's never been a day that's been more tailor-made for revival than this day we're living in. Hallelujah. You say nobody wants God anymore. You're exactly wrong about that. You say nobody wants to pray anymore. That's not the truth. Don't listen to the devil's lies. There's a revival, the greatest revival that the church has ever known, that's at our fingertips if we can bind together in unity, in love, in brotherhood, in fellowship, and knit our hearts together. Brother, we're going to see the greatest revival in the next few months we've ever seen. One of my son-in-laws, Brother Robbie Mitchell, some of you fellows know him. He has been gone for a few days on vacation. Had a man come in and preach for him. And since I talked to him last night, since he's been gone, he's in a home mission church, Asheville, North Carolina, up in the mountains. When they went there, I wondered if it was the right thing. Now, don't take this tape and let Robbie listen to it. Praise God. I'll take it back if he listens to it. But when he and Lisa said they're going to go to Asheville, I had second guesses about it. I didn't put them there. In fact, my wife and I would have kept them. You know the parent nature is that you don't want your kids to get in trouble and get out there on a limb somewhere. And they said they want to go to Asheville. We had 28 people try to start a church there. Nobody ever stayed. And I thought, Robbie, you might know something. About 7 years ago, rented a little storefront with a few folding chairs. About 2 years ago, we got a nice building. He and Lisa and a few others got in there and fixed that up. It's a beautiful looking church building now. Praise God. But they're gone off for a few days. And he told me last night, I don't think I'll go back home. I said, why is that? He said, since I've been gone, there's been 15 received the Holy Ghost in our church. Hallelujah. In a little home mission church out in the hills of North Carolina, there's been 15 got the Holy Ghost just in the last week or so. Let me tell you, there is a revival. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. I believe in revival. I believe in a move of God. I believe in the outpouring of the Spirit. I believe God wants to bless His people. My God, does anybody else believe that? I believe there's an unprecedented Jesus name apostolic revival that's waiting for us. It's at our fingertips. Let's reach out and get it. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. 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 But we got to get focused. Some have major changes come to their family, and they throw in the towel and quit. Some are facing heartache or discouragement, and they say there's no use to go on. Some are facing loneliness and financial reversal, and they say, what's the use of me serving God? And the devil's right there to foster those feelings and attitudes. Hallelujah. The devil's a good devil. Amen. Not good in the sense of good, good. But he's a hard-working devil. He's at his job. And I would to God we'd be at our job as much as he's his job. We'd put him in his place. Praise God. I said we could put him in his place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The temptation in all of this is to become self-focused. After a while, here's what we're doing. Unconsciously, we're saying, I and me and mine and mine. The temptation arises to question God as to why this trial has arrived. Why should I be subject to such trouble? Has God quit keeping His promises? This is what happened to Asaph. His focus was gloomy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote it like this. Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. How are you going to focus? Is it going to be down or is it going to be up? David said, I will lift mine eyes on the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and earth. Hallelujah. God's still God. If God could do anything 2,000 years ago, He can still do it tonight. God could do anything 100 years ago, He can do it now. Don't sit back and tell me how Pentecost used to be. Let's bring Pentecost current and relevant up to date with a 2004 apostolic revival. Don't sit back and talk about how it used to be. Let's say, praise God, we're going to pray and fast and witness and seek God, and we're going to see a revival in our hearts, in our families, and in our churches. But I want you to see that something happened to Asaph in verse number 10. Something happened. Now, if you look back to Psalm 73, something happened in that chapter. You know, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. When I considered the prosperity of the wicked and how they ever have everything, I have nothing. Their eyes, he said, are bulging out with fatness. They've got everything you can desire, and I have absolutely nothing. And he spent 16 verses complaining about what kind of dilemma he was in. But in verse 17 of chapter 73 is the key. It starts off by saying, until I went to the sanctuary of God. Hallelujah. When I went to church, it changed my view. When I went to church, it changed my outlook. When I went to church, it changed my perspective. When you don't feel good on Wednesday night, don't stay home from church. Go to church. Bless God. When you don't feel good on Sunday night, just say, praise God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. God's got a blessing. God's got an anointing. God's got a touch for you. If you're going to stay home, you're going to miss what God wants to do. I've seen people that God had something for them, but they missed it because they were not there. Thomas's biggest problem was not doubting. It was unfaithfulness to church. Amen. The Bible says, when Jesus was revealing himself and so on, it simply says, and Thomas was not there. And if you're not there, you may doubt too. Biggest problem is missing church. I remember the day when I used to preach in Indiana when I was 19, 20 years old, evangelist. And they had church 7 nights a week. Brother Mooney, you're not as old as I am, but you remember some of that. Praise God. Yeah, you was at my revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I remember 7 nights a week. And they said if you took one night off, that it wasn't going to be right. The devil was going to take over. And you're going to lose the momentum. And we had church 7 nights a week. I remember one time going 5 months in 13 states and never missed a single night. Praise God. You see where these gray hair are? You understand? Praise God. Yeah, I deserved them. Praise God. 5 months and never missed a single night. Leave church out on Sunday night, drive 500 miles, start another revival on Monday night. And now then, it's hard to get folks to be faithful to a two-night revival. All right, come on, Pentecostals. Come on, Indiana. Praise God. When it's Sunday morning, we ought to be there. When it's Sunday night, we ought to be there. When it's weeknight, we ought to be there. When it's revival, we ought to be there. When it's prayer meeting, we ought to be there. Praise God. Praise God. If some of you good folks would come to church during the week, you may be seated. Your pastor would probably expire right in the pulpit. But you know what? He'd die with a smile on his face. Yes, he would. He'd die with a smile on his face. Praise God. I think a lot of our problems in Pentecost can be solved if we just go to church. David said, I had all kinds of troubles. He said, until, verse 17 of Psalm 73, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. I understood I've got it good and they've got it bad. I used to think I had it bad and they had it good. But he said, when I got in church, I said, hey, I'm the one that's blessed. I'm the beneficiary of God's blessing. I'm the beneficiary of God's power. It's the other people that's got the problem. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. I lost some of you right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll pick you up in a moment. I'm going to close here in just a little bit. But in Psalm 73, he said, until I went to the sanctuary, then I got my focus right. Praise God. In verse 10 of Psalm 77, something happened. He said in verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? That sounds like Southeast Missouri language. Is his mercy clean gone forever? That sounds like country folks where I was raised. Praise God. Notice what he said in verse 8. He said, doth his promise fail forevermore? Can you imagine a man questioning God to this extent? But in verse 10, he had a turnabout. He said, and I said, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He said, I'm not going to sit around and worry about the future. Praise God. God's been so good to me in the past. I'll just live for God for what He's already done. I'll just shout because of what He did 10 years ago. Praise God. If it don't feel like shouting over what happened yesterday, I'll shout over what He did 5 years ago. He said, I will remember the days of old. I'll remember how God blessed me. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember His works. And I will remember the wonders of old. It turns around. Something happens. In the first 9 verses, he says, I and my, personal pronouns, 22 times, and God 11 times. In the next part of that chapter, the latter part of that chapter, he mentions God 42 times. And he mentions himself 3 times. And that's the key. Praise God. In the first half of the chapter, it's all, I'm so, man, it's just so hard to live for God. Can I paraphrase, you know, it's just hard to live for God. I can't hardly make it from Sunday to Wednesday, and Wednesday to Sunday, everybody talks about me. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes Pentecost. We're just, we stand out in the crowd, and nobody wants to live for God anymore. And I pass out a tract, and they throw it in my face, and I pass out a church card, and they say, I don't want that. Hallelujah. I remember when Winford Black was in Kansas City, Missouri, and I was a young preacher in the Missouri district, and somebody was handing a tract, and they threw it down on the ground, and a young man from a country in Africa was going to school in Kansas City to a theological seminary, and he picked up that tract and read it. Praise God. As a result, he came to 40th and Harrison in Kansas City, got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost, went back to his country, called Brother Black. Brother Black went over there and baptized 130 preachers in the name of Jesus, all of it over one tract. Hallelujah. What can one message do? What can one service do? What can one church card do? What can one tract do? We got our folks at home trying to. Does everybody cooperate? Of course not. If you ever get 100% cooperation, let me know. I won't find out the secret. But we got our folks passing out church cards. Somebody came to our church in Chalmers, passed out church cards 4 or 5, 4 years ago. Since then, we passed out over 250,000 church cards. And I'm not exaggerating. We're going on to 300,000 now. You say, has anybody come to church? Every week, there's folks come. We ask everybody in the church to pass out one a day. We call it one a day vitamins. Praise God. We ask everybody in the church one a day vitamins. One a day vitamin. Praise God. Well, what's happened on it? Well, a little lady was working at Walmart, and one of our members went through and handed her a card, and she started crying. There was people in line, and she said, what in the world's going on? And the lady from our church said, did I offend you or something? She said, no, and she reached over and picked up 13 more. She said, you're the 14th person from that church that's invited me today. Tell me what's going on over there. And you know what? She came and got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You may be seated. A little 4-year-old child handed a man and his wife a church card. As a result, they came that weekend. They got baptized. They got the Holy Ghost. They're in church living for God tonight. One of our young people goes by McDonald's and hand him a tract. He said, you're the 8th one tonight. What's going on? Hallelujah. And I had Brother Cunningham the next night. And he came and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he's still living for God. Let me tell you, there's a revival that's untapped out there if somehow we can get our focus right. Preachers, let's get our focus right. Saints of God, let's get our focus right. Young people, let's get our focus right. Local church, let's get our focus right. Indiana district, let's get our focus right. He shall talk. Asaph changed his focus and suddenly he sees life differently. And suddenly he sees things through the eyes of a child of God. Hallelujah. And the second half of the psalm is the same picture as the first half, but now the picture is in focus. And this time, three personal pronouns, 42 references to God. In the first half, God is recognized, but the man's overwhelmed with a sense of grief. In the second half, God is the supreme thought, and self is brought in its proper place. Hallelujah. We have too many Christians tonight that are self-focused. Christian life is not without trials. To say that your troubles are going to go away when you get right with God is false. Ask the Apostle Paul if troubles go away in the Christian life. Ask John, Peter, and Mark. Ask those whose names are written in the Foxes' Book of Martyrs. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. The truth is that Christians have troubles too. But it's the Christian that has the ability to sing when you're in jail at midnight. There's other folks in jail at midnight, but only Paul and Silas were singing. There were other folks in jail. There was no one there. Praise God. But I said the Christian has the ability to sing at midnight. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're the Christians today. Where are the Christians that will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? I say to you, praise the child of God. And I'm not here to condemn. I'm up here to try to help somebody. Wipe your eyes. Wash your face. Look to Jesus. Refocus your line. Somebody needs to know that our generation, that there's a God that's real. Child of God, let's get our focus right. Let's get our focus off of problems and off of burdens. Hallelujah. Let's get out of depression. Let's get out of being down. Asaph found out there's a better way, and that's God's way. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Oh, let's praise God. Come on, let's praise Him tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Are you focused on your problems? Are you burdens? Are you down? Are you depressed? Did you come here sad and discouraged? Praise God. Leave out the personal pronouns and put Jesus on your lips. Get focused on God and His will for your life. Lose yourself in the cause of Christ. Focus on the great things that God's done in the past. Focus on His promises. Focus on His goodness. Focus on His strength. Focus on His grace and His mercy and His love and His word and His mighty power. Thank you, Jesus. Am I preaching to somebody tonight? You're not backslid. You're not a hypocrite. You love God, but the devil is trying to shift your focus to other things. I just came here with a simple message tonight to tell you, let's get back and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Why don't we just pray right now, right where you're seated? Would you pray with me? Would you just lift your hands and pray with me right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's focus on Him. Under no circumstances, my friend, can the church retain its name and its virtue and its value and fail to give men the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com. If you would like to find a Spirit-filled church where lives are transformed in your area, I encourage you to email us today at churches@PreachItAudio.com. Let us know the city and state you live in, and we will reply back to you very quickly to direct you to the church in your area where you will receive the strength you need for your life today, and where you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.